I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Mobile Suit Gundam 3, Encounters in Space, which is basically a continuation of the last 2 weeks and what we've been watching. But before that, we talked a little bit on how I refuse to continue watching SAO and got into a discussion about AI and smart home technology and water restrictions and how things are kind of going right now. You want to catch a part of that wider conversation, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you all that bonus content. Now, on to the meat and potatoes, sir.
Where to start?
Right.
Where to start?
I know exactly where to start. It originally aired in March 1982. Oh,
that's a good place to start.
Right. Producers for it are Sotsu. Studios for it are Sunrise. It's an original. Genres are action, adventure, drama, sci-fi, mecha, military, and space. And it ran for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
So what I will say, out of the gate, I'm gonna go with some of the stuff I got beef with, some of the issues I might have. His dad's a freaking live. How? Well,
you find that out not even
how?
You find that out not even 10 minutes into the movie. But that is how? The question that I have, right? So one of the first things I noticed within the first 5 minutes of the movie, I'll tell you this right now, wasn't that because we hadn't reached it yet, but rather, they're having a discussion at the very beginning, and there's this giant metal door that's just rolling up, then over the glass, that then just disappears. That was the
blaster
first
shield?
I guess. But I mean, I don't know why you would need to put it up after you're already in space. Why not just have it up the whole time? Why even have glass at that point, you know?
I don't know. I've seen it so often in Star Trek where they throw the blaster shield up or they cover up the windows for the hologram, the TV they're looking at, because it's a TV regardless. They're like, oh, bring up sector 452X3.
Yeah, magnify. But that's a video, right? So that way they can pull it up and zoom in on it. You can't do that with the glass. They're not doing anything like that with this. It's just there for them to look out and say, oh, look what pretty stars there are out tonight.
If you're going to go, that is your only issue with that kind of model. How is it that you've got basically a front window to a household? Like if you think Victorian style house where you have bay windows opening up to the living room.
Okay,
that's what you got as a cockpit.
Hang on. Let me explain it to you. All right. Because you're bringing up households. I don't know about you, but I don't fly my house into a battle. All right. I don't just like sit there full speed ahead. Blasters. Fire them missiles. Fire.
But if you could, you would.
Oh, if I could, I can tell you this right now. I wouldn't have windows.
You don't want the majesty of each explosion hit your face because the windshield does nothing.
Exactly.
Of course, it might not be glass. It might be a clear polymer they're using, which could be more durable than glass.
Probably. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, they do have glass in this time frame because we've seen glass actually break. So it could be glass. I figured it could be.
You never know. The point is, within the first 30 seconds, I noticed that and I had to rewind to make sure I saw what I saw a couple of times.
Yeah.
But yes. And then not even too far after that, you find out his dad's alive.
Alive and crazy.
which I am gonna say I'm a little disappointed in the whole dad finding out the dad's alive thing. He just randomly sees his dad, runs over to him, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, my dad must be suffering from this. Sad face.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well.
Bye, Dad.
Bye.
Bye forever.
Comes back later. Here's a fruit basket for you. I'll never see you again. And that's it.
Here's a fruit basket. Your fruit. Well, no. And then his dad gives him a piece of junk. Oh, he's like, this will help you.
Well, that's what we think. We think that it's a piece of junk. We never know. His son just runs out in a fit of sadness and throws his a piece of junk.
Yeah. See, I thought it was going to be like super high tech, like it's going to save the day at the end. Just, I don't know what else to do. Try this, plug it in, and transforms into this ultra omega auto aiming, like cheat kind of thing. And he never happens.
Well, yeah, he threw it away. And it's not like his dad just threw random parts together, because you can see in the background of the junkyard that there are some mobile suits in the background. So, I mean, it could have been useful. We'll never know. I mean, we'll never know. His dad obviously suffered some from lack of oxygen when he got thrown out into space. How he was found or saved is beyond me. So
that goes to my next question, though. How do you have oxygen loss? He's coughing. He's got lung issue. All right, fine. But like, maybe the reason that he hasn't been tore up about the whole thing is because someone told him, hey, your dad survived. We sent him over here as a civilian. You can't see him yet.
Well, he didn't even know his dad was there. He just happened to see him and he starts running across the street. Dad, Dad, where are you? Dad, Dad, Dad.
So, yeah, To-chan, definitely not something I'm doing. There's no way I'm fit enough to chase a trolley and almost keep catch up it
with it the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I that whole scene just felt really lackluster to me. They didn't explain how his dad survived. It wasn't a really meaningful reunion. It was just kind of there. His dad survived. And that was it. The next time you see his dad ends up falling down some stairs because he's excited that his son's winning a battle, and that's about it.
Yeah. I thought the dad was going to die, and it would, when he comes back, he'll be like, what have I done? No.
Yeah. But they basically just say two words, and hey, we do have an age for Amaru now. We do have an age.
And what is Amaru, the age?
He says that he's 16 years old.
How many years have passed since the first one?
I'm going to say one. Well, I'm going by the timeline for the release of when the movie first came out and now. So one.
Whatever.
And we also know that it hasn't been quite that long because the kids are still very much kids. They're still very much children.
Yeah, but now they got blast protectors.
And also the whole war for them started off in 0079. And by the time the armistice was reached, it's 0080. So it's been a year, to say the least.
Oh, it's amazing. Gundam put in so much work. They're like, please don't kill us anymore.
Well, that, and they also had Archimedes' death ray.
True.
I mean, when you're pulling up technology that is legitimately a few hundred years old at least, and you can just completely obliterate ships and everything like that with it. Hell, I mean, like, they must have done something right.
You know, I agree with you. It's well built, but I still go with the whole idea of, if it was so great, why was it left by itself? Essentially, why was it left to be discovered?
No, it's still being used and still actually being utilized, just not in the way you're thinking. Military actually still is testing similar ideologies behind it. But the actual practice of using mirrors to focus intense heat on a specific area is actually being utilized to this day for a solar power plant. What it does is, these mirrors surround this tower and focuses focus it on, and it heats, superheats salt water to an excess of like 1,000 degrees, which then the steam from it goes through the piping and turns a generator. It's last I heard, it was like almost 70% efficient, like self-sustainable,
which is really good.
70% of the time it's doing that. Oh, and speaking of, it uses AI to help keep track of where the sun is. So
I knew we'd talk about that eventually.
Indeed. But I mean, that was, I found really interesting, but everyone acted like it was this new found special weapon that just came spontaneously into existence that completely obliterated everything in its path when they used it.
I don't know. I was going to say, I'm thinking somebody is undervaluing what it can do. And so they're like, oh, it's too old. They can't do that. Our newer stuff is better.
Well, to be fair, I mean, the giant death beam with 85 million gigawatts.
Totally not a ripoff of another show we talked about before.
Actually, this came out before that show.
Ooh, even worse. Even worse. So it's the original that got knocked off.
Well, I mean, in that movie, they only said 1 point something. This was 85 million. All right. That's basically throwing 85 million lightning bolts straight out.
1.21 gigawatts.
Yeah.
It is. Imagine what you could do for good rather than evil with that kind of machinery.
Right. It'd be magnificent, honestly. That would be insane. What's crazy is it's not 85 million gigawatts total. Its output was 85 million gigawatts per second. The amount of power literally is just mind-boggling. It's massive.
Beyond anything else, you just have to move it around, right?
Right.
So that takes a massive amount of power to begin with. And you got to count, you have to take into account the gravitational, either real or manufactured.
Yeah.
So it would have to hover on the ground, and that's a lot of fuel. So it's not even economical.
And
100% green, not going anywhere.
True. But remember in the first episode, I had talked about how Amuro, like, it's love at first sight for him all the time.
You may have mentioned that, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I got the feeling that he may have fallen in love at first sight again.
Again?
Again.
Only no, to be not led. Him.
Right?
Not our main character. Why would that happen?
I can't think of a single reason why that would.
I can't think of a single reason why that would surprise you.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I'll tell you this right now. The dude has issues. He didn't even know the girl. And he's already, I can only assume, fantasizing his entire life with her in the first 20 seconds he met her.
Oh, yeah. Marriage, kids, growing old together, holding their hand while the Republic does their thing. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, I guess he's got his act together. He just sees someone and he's like, yes, you.
Yeah.
We're soulmates. But what about Matilda? Matilda's old news. She died last time. Don't worry about it.
She died last time. We can't keep bringing her back up.
Don't worry about it.
And then you're like, what do you mean last time? You'll find out. Matilda number two. Let's go.
Exactly. Oh, and lo and behold, I mean, to be fair, it was kind of similar in why she died.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I'm not saying that his new love interest died for him, but it was similar.
But you, what you are saying is it's an odd coinkydink that everyone's dying around him, but not him.
What I'm saying is, if he loves you, you're most assuredly dead.
It's a death sentence.
Exactly. It's like in Gurren Lagann. If you were kissed, you were dead.
Oh,
I mean, that's how it was. I mean, his love is the death. Is the death kiss. You're gone. That's it. It was nice knowing you, Matilda, too. or, you know, as I'm sure he likes to say while he's walking around the ship, Lala, because her name was Lala. Super original name. I know.
Well, you know, they are known for originality. One of the things I did like, I realize we're just talking shit 90% of the time about this. The music was better than number two.
I felt like the music was way overdone.
It felt
almost like a musical almost. It was like everything was going on. There was music for almost, there was almost no point in that movie where there was not music playing. And the music never fit. Not once did the music fit.
It fit better than an upbeat song when you're killing everybody.
So that was, I would say that it was a pretty upbeat song while they were killing everybody.
I don't know. I just, the way I saw it last time, it didn't, yes, it wasn't the saddest song ever, but it did get your blood pumping. Assuming you know.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
You enjoyed it.
We'll run with that. We'll go with that.
Wow. The music I feel was better. It was overdone, yes, but probably because there was a severe lack of music in the last one. And they're just trying to recompensate. Oh, that you had a problem with no music? All right, let's do a shit ton of music. Is it fixed now? No?
Crap. No, it's still not fixed. It's actually worse. I would say it is far worse. But I do have a question.
I have an answer.
Okay. So they talked about new types and everything like that. Is it me, or did the new types become more and more Esper like?
I don't know, because it's said many different times that the chick is a new type. She's not a psychic, or she's not an Esper, I think is what they said.
No, they never said that she wasn't an Esper. They just kept referencing that she is a new type, and that the machines that they're using are for the new types, and that the old types basically are going to be killed off, and that the new types have no need for war, but they're being forced to be used for war.
Bullshit. The new types, depending on what power you have, depending on what kind, because I think Char is a new type. I think he's a fully realized, knows his power new type. You know?
Well, they did specify that. They said that he is a new type, but he also referenced that Amuro is a new level of it. Like, the amount of power that he has basically matched Matilda 2, you know, if not more, and just kept growing. I mean, like, I guess you could say the more Amuro's love interests die, the more of them that die, the stronger he becomes. He utilizes their power to grow.
He's like, hey, you got a power. I like, come here, sweet cheeks.
But, well, I mean, think about it, right? Think about it. He started getting better when love interest one died, and it like almost skyrocketed from there. And then you have Matilda 2, and she died, and then he just skyrocketed from there. You know, there wasn't a lot of time that happened in between point A and point B. He just magically got better when love interest started dropping left and right.
You know, he just doesn't have the time or the focus, if you will, mm-hmm. to pay attention to whoever might or might not love him. He's got to do him
and kill love interests. I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
I feel you there.
Oh, man. And Char even goes to Matilda number two, don't fall for him. And she goes, I'm not.
No, but she did.
Lies. Although Char was harsh. He goes, I don't love you. I love your ability.
At least he was honest.
Right up front with it. Up front with it. Harsh. Brutal. He would definitely be talked to by like several Karens today just for that one remark. I don't know. It's weird. The more and more I watch it, the more I want to watch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha. Well, here's the other thing. We finally got a reason why Char betrayed Garma in the first movie.
It feels like a cop-out. Although, that said, it turns out I was kind of right when he was sabotaging them almost on purpose.
Well, no, you were in the last episode. Right. You weren't kind of right. You were right. Like, it was straight on full sabotage. What's even better is that they made a direct reference for one of the characters, for Giren, calling him, basically saying that he's following the path of Hitler. And they even referenced Hitler.
Yeah. They got ballsy with it. They got real ballsy with it. So, I mean, for the 2 hours, I was entertained. There was maybe 15 to 20 minutes in there where I was like, I could sleep through this and not care because there's not much happening. It's just a lot of filler I don't care about. A lot of dialogue that doesn't matter. So maybe they were trying to throw fan service out there. Maybe they were trying to just double check that the audience is involved. I don't know.
I really honestly couldn't tell you what the hell was going on. But I do know that I had a lot more fun with this one. Though I had a lot more problems with it, I had a lot more fun with it. Maybe because I wasn't looking for it to be great. Like, I already had my expectations tamped down from the second one. They kind of got built up with movie number one. Then movie number two comes in. They get them smashed down so that way you're not as excited for it, I guess. Then movie three comes in. They're like, hey, let's be awesome again. And they just ended up being goofy. Not even trying to be goofy. It just ended up being goofy.
Well, that's what happens when you lose the momentum. A very famous, well, I don't know if it's famous, but for me, it's a very famous saying. You know what the difference between a creep and cute flirtation is? I mean, I'm always flirting, but the difference is whether or not the chick likes you or the other person likes you, because you can say the creepiest things, but if you're an attractive person and the other person has an interest in you, they will laugh it off. They will think, oh, that's so cute. That's so funny. You're just so weird, unique. However, if you're ugly or they don't have any interest in you and you say the exact same phrase, they go, oh my God, I need the cops here. I'm about to be abducted.
So what you're saying is the reason why you don't find me creepy is because you think I'm attractive.
Dead sexy. We've had this conversation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I forgot.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, I know that's why I don't call the cops on you.
are we having a thing here? Is that what's going on?
I mean, after 25 years, 26 years, Rick, you know, maybe God. I should start calling you Matilda or Lala.
Matilda 3. Oh, God. Oh, man. That's funny.
I have a sneaking suspicion that I'm going to get an angry text later on. Why are you hitting on my man, Jack? Well, I mean, that's not every day you see a guy like you and a guy like me just run into each other and it's like, hey, how you doing?
Right. Well, I mean, let's be perfectly honest. If I swung that way, perfect relationship. Perfect relationship.
I got to be honest. That's pretty true.
Good. We're even wearing matching t-shirts. I mean, you can see it right there.
True. This is very true. What can I say? I mean, like, you can't dress yourself. I have to dress you for you.
Oh, good. Is that why I'm in a sweater?
That's exactly why you're in a sweater.
Oh, dear Lord. Yeah, I'm going to get an angry text, too.
There you go.
Oh, dear Lord, yeah.
But, again, you know, just the whole premise, the whole mentality behind this movie, just it really, I really did have a lot more fun with it. And it was a lot more enjoyable because I did not have high expectations for it. had really, really low expectations for it. So I enjoyed this movie a lot, actually. I'll be honest. I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, I liked the fact that it moved the plot forward while simultaneously not taking itself seriously.
That we're aware of.
Well, we hope. I hope. Because if this was a serious attempt at a serious show, it failed.
Yes.
It failed horribly. The only thing, the only positive thing I get out of this is I now know the motives. I now know who the real bad guys are. I know who the badasses are. And I got to see a bad guy get her head blown off.
Yes.
Literally. That was actually kind of fun. I'm not going to lie. When I saw that, I was like, yes, yes, this is perfect. Yes.
That was
she's
great.
Like, no.
The point at which she realizes the betrayal is priceless. And Char basically set out and completed it without even really having to do all that much.
Yeah, all he did was point and shoot. Not even point and shoot, point and put people. The weird thing is, the cool thing is, he ended up like creating an enemy that's damn near unbeatable. And I have a feeling he is slightly older. He is a little bit more intelligent, things like that. I got a feeling when he saw a potential rival, someone who could be as good as him, he was like, you know, I don't see anybody on my side that can match me. This is going to be great. I now have a meat grinder I can throw the people I hate into while still building this guy up. And what I thought was really interesting was, you've heard of telephone tough guys. You've heard of keyboard warriors. You know, it's not the most common to find someone who's willing to back it up in person. You know what I mean? I don't really see too many people in my adult life get into fist fights over opinions, over words, over elections. Yeah, I've seen three, which was weird to me because it didn't change anything.
Right.
But Char meets he meets her main character, and I want to say they both recognize each other, but they're playing dumb.
Oh yeah. Well, the interesting thing is Amuro does recognize him. Then he asks his name, and then he immediately questions, goes, how did I know it was him?
Again, if you've got it, you've got it. You know what they're saying? They were saying something along the lines of, if you've got any kind of, I'm just going to call it a spark, because that seems to be the closest thing I can think of. It's very Stephen King. However, they've got a connection that links them mentally, almost like a hive mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it, again, the Force, it reminds me a lot of what the Force can do. Force talking, Force connection, Force telepathy.
You know what it also reminds me of?
Witchcraft, wizardry.
Espers.
But I thought Char specifically said that Lala was not a Esper.
No.
He says, you are a new type, not an Esper.
Right. Well, they do. He does say you are a new type, but they don't specifically discredit Espers. In fact, they never really talk about Espers. They just keep saying new types and old types. And that's their continual focus, is new types and old types. But it also brings to question, right? Because some people felt like this sensation, let's call it. And there was an older guy, one of the older generals or colonels or captains or what have you, who is also getting like, oh, I'm getting a headache type of thing. And does that mean he was also a new type?
Is new type an infection, do you think? They were calling it a kind of mutation, the next evolutionary step.
Well, yeah.
But is it really? Is it possible it just could be an infection of sorts?
No. And
if you're infected young enough, you have symptoms that like this that show up?
No, because I would assume that if it was an infection, that they would have realized that it was an infection and not that. And then they would have taken what would be causing said infection and applying it to everyone.
What if they don't know? What if it's on the molecular level rather than the I scrape my knee level?
I would be surprised if they don't know, considering that they would test for everything else. Well, you know what? I take that back. You could be 100% right. They let a 15-year-old pilot a Gundam.
And then say he's the only one that can. It's just the midichlorian count, you know?
Exactly.
They're going to deus ex machina their way into some bullshit. So.
All right. Well, I think this is a good spot for a rating, sir. What about you?
I agree. All right. So my first movie was 7. Second movie was 6. It was a rough 6. Like, there's no question. I was trying to like it. This one entertained me. I would watch this again. I would show other people this one as a good representation of what Gundam could be. So I'm going to go 8. So overall, 7, 6, 8. So overall 7 for the entire trilogy thus far. But for this particular one, I'm going 8.
I'm going to go 7. I would not watch it again.
Really?
I would not watch it again. I had the one time. It's one and done for this one. That's for all three of them, actually. That's it. I would not watch them again. I did enjoy it a lot more than the other ones, but I would not watch this again.
So I have a question for you.
Okay.
One day when you have a kid, boy, girl, whatever, they like anime, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming. I'm just throwing hypotheticals out there.
Okay.
What oldies would you show them? Because we've got massive amounts. We've got Dragon Ball Z, Bleach, Naruto, Yu Yu Hakusho.
Depends on their age. Hunter X Hunter. Depends on the age.
Would you ever neglect one thing due to dislike for it?
I would tell them about it. But that doesn't mean I have to watch it again. That just means they can watch it on their own. But I get what you're trying to say.
So like in my head, there are three main. Mm-hmm. I always say two things come in threes, but Akira, Gundam.
When they're older,
depending. Well, obviously, when they're older, but like, but I'm just saying, depending on the Gundam, I'm saying pivotal moments in anime. You've got Ninja Scroll, one of my personal favorites. I'm gonna be honest. Ninja Scroll, when they're older. Ninja Scroll, Akira, and select Gundams, because they're turning points in anime.
Sure.
And then of course you're gonna have to give them redo of Healer, because that's masterful. I'm told. So, nothing. What wow, you're saying? You just gloss over that. Holy crap. I laid that one up just here. Take it away. And you're like, okay, I'm just going to leave it there. You know what that felt like? That felt like when I did a high five. We were walking home from school, raised my hand for a high five, and you're like, no, I don't do that in public. That
you know I gotta flashbacks. get my jabs in whenever I can. You know this, Rick.
I was like, I had to smack my own hand as a 15-year-old to be like, yeah, no, totally, I get it. Yeah, it's just lame, whatever. I'm just, dear Lord.
Right. Hey, it's all good fun. All good fun.
God.
Yeah, 7. I don't know why you brought all that up. I mean, like, I feel like you were trying to convince me to go higher, but it's not. 7. Hard 7.
Okay.
It's not teetering in between anything. It's like it's a hard, flat, solid 7.
Okay, I was hoping it was teetering on the higher end, not the lower end.
No. This was a solid 7, and if it was something that I would consider rewatching, then I would go higher. I would give it an 8, maybe even, depending on how much I loved it, a 9. Not a 10 by any stretch of the word. There were other issues and problems that I had with it that just kind of made me question it a little bit, which is also why, but you know, we don't need to really get into that because,
you know, there were some continuity and consistency issues. I agree. But overall, I don't think they mattered too much.
Yeah. So 7. So next week we already have it. Chosen, yeah. Sir. Would you like to announce next week's choice?
Sir, it's Gundam number 4. And no, I'm kidding. Oh, dear Lord, Char's Revenge. This one's going to be Time of Eve.
All right.
And it's a slight change of pace from what I understand.
Yes.
I might have watched it a long time ago, but I don't really have too many memories of it. Is it a cafe style one or no?
I'm going to be totally honest. I don't remember. So it'll be a nice change of pace. I know that it's definitely not mecha related.
No, absolutely not.
So, but that'll be next week's choice. Well, cool. I hope you all enjoyed this week's choice. If you feel like we got something right, got something wrong, we just did a horrible job or anything else, feel free to reach out to us. FeaturedAnimePodcast@gmail.com, at Those Anime Guys, at Featured Anime Podcast on Facebook, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. If you want to help us grow $1 a month for some bonus content or get yourself some swanky merch, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com, or join us in our Discord. Link for that's going to be in the notes for you. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. We'll see you next time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.